break into the chapter at the verse 22. Luke chapter 8, the verse 22, and reading down to the verse 40. Let's hear the word of the Lord. It came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples. He said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. They launched forth, but as they sailed, he fell asleep. There came down a storm of wind on the lake. They were filled with water and were in jeopardy. They came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. He said unto them, where is your faith? They, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. They arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. When he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him. With a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him. He was kept bound with chains and in fetters. He brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? He said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. They besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. There was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. They besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man, and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake, and were choked. They that fed them saw what was done. They fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. They went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them. For they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. And the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return to thine own house, and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way, and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. And it came to pass, when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. Amen. We'll open our Bibles again at Luke chapter 8. When we find the place, we'll look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Amen. The portion of Scripture that we read together presents for us four different reactions to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at verse 24, you will see the first reaction to the presence and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased. And there was a calm. The disciples, at the command of the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, had entered into their little ship. They were passing over the Sea of Galilee. They were going to the region of Gadara because the Lord was to meet a man there whom he would save. He would deliver from the power of Satan and he would deliver from death unto life. The devil did not want the Lord to succeed.
And so on that little journey there arose a storm. I believe a satanic storm. And it blew up all around the ship so that the water began to engulf the little boat that the disciples and the Savior was in. And of course Jesus was asleep in the hindermost part of the boat. It tells us, verse 23, the lives of all were in jeopardy. The little ship was going down. The lives of all on board were in great danger. And the disciples come with great urgency. And they say, Master, Master, we perish. In one of the other Gospels, they use the phrase, Master, tear us down up that we perish. They accuse the Lord of not caring that they're about to go down into the waters of Galilee. The Master rises from his sleep. And with a word, He rebukes the wind and the sea. And Galilee is calm. The first reaction to Christ's nature obeyed the voice of its Creator. Dear child of God, there's a very practical lesson and don't you miss it. No matter what storms in life you face, there are none beyond the power of Christ to bring His calming influence over. Nature obeyed the voice of its Creator. If you look at verse 31, you will see the second reaction to Christ. The Lord came to Gadara. He was met by the demonic. And he begins, or rather the demons in this man commence a conversation with the Lord. They ask, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thy Son of the Most High God? But they continue their conversation, and it says in verse 31, they besought Him that He would not command them to go out into the deep. The Lord was going to command the demons, the legion of demons. Here was a man who was filled with some 6,000, as many as 6,000, for that was how many was in a legion of soldiers, 6,000 men. Here was a man filled with many demonic spirits. The Lord comes to Gadara and He commands those spirits to depart. But before they depart, they say to Him, they beseech Him, they implore Him, send us not out into the deep. The word deep is the Greek word abyss. It's the word that is translated in Revelation 20 verse 3, the bottomless pit. It is a place that when the Lord returns, He will bind Satan and cast him there. It is the place where the devil and his angels ultimately are going to be judged throughout eternity. And for a little season, they have a time on this earth, and here they come to Christ, and they know they must depart the man, and yet they're saying, don't send us to the bottomless pit. Don't send us to that place of outer darkness. Don't send us there before the time. How awful that place must be when even the demonic spirits cry to the Lord, oh, don't send us there before the time. The time is coming when He will send them away. They're saying not before the time. How awful that place must be. Yet I put it to you, countless souls today are tramping the road that leads to the bottomless pit and that leads to hell. And without a thought of beseeching the Lord to spare them, the demonic spirits besought the Lord for leniency. Don't send us away there yet. They knew they were going there. Don't send us yet. You'll notice the third reaction to Christ. It's verse 37. It's the ungodly in Gadara. It says, then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought Him to depart. They beheld what Christ had accomplished. Here was a man filled with evil spirits who demonized, who terrorized their community. None could tame him. And yet Jesus came that way. Jesus met him and saved him. What a change took place in his life. You would have thought they would have been thankful. And yet they come to Christ. You'll notice the same word besought, it's used. They beseech the Lord to depart. There's a contrast to be noted. The fallen demonic spirits, they besought the Lord not to send them to the pit. And yet sinful, fallen, ungodly mankind beseeches the Lord to depart. They want nothing to do with him. I put it to you, these were really the madmen of Gadara. They tell the Lord to depart. And I have to give you a warning this morning, dear sinner friend. You're out of Christ. You're maybe only in this meeting because your parents have brought you. Maybe because a loved one is saved. Maybe for some other reason. But you want nothing to do with Christ. When these men besought the Lord to depart, he left. And it's a dangerous thing to ask the Lord to depart from your soul. For if God's Spirit leaves you and he strives no more, friend, you're in an awful plight. You'll walk the road to a lost eternity with no hope of ever getting right with God. Nature obeyed the voice of its creator. The fallen demonic powers, they besought him for a little longer out of that place that is the pit. Sinful man besought him that he would depart. But there's a fourth reaction to Christ. And it's found in verse 38 and 39. And it's the reaction of the Christian. The man who had been saved. He says in verse 38, "Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him." I want this morning, in the time that is remaining, to consider with you the Christian's reaction to Jesus Christ. And I want you to notice firstly that the true Christian's desire is to be in the presence of the Savior. Look at verse 38 again. The man out of whom the devils were departed besought him. Oh, the demons besought him. The ungodly besought him. But now the child of God seeks him. And he wants to be with Christ. Wants to go with Jesus on his journey. Throughout the villages and the cities as he preaches the Word of God. I wonder if you ever ask yourself the question, why did this man? Why have countless other men and women throughout the ages of time, why have they wanted to spend time in the presence of Jesus? I ask you to look and see what the Lord did for this man. Here was a man, we're not going to read it all again, but you read what this man was. And sin, the devil's demonic powers, they had ruined his life. For he dwelt in the tombs. He left his home, he left his family, and he was there among the tombs. It had destroyed sin, and the devil had destroyed his body, for he was cutting himself with the stones and with the rocks. Sin had taken this man on a journey downward. And yet when Jesus came to Gadara, and he met that man, with the same word that he commanded the wind and the sea to be still, the devils were departed. And this man was changed. He was saved. And if you look, you will notice something about this man. If you look at verse 35, you'll see when the devils were cast out of him, he was sitting at Jesus' feet. That's a position of learning. Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. He wanted to learn of Christ. When a man or a woman is born again, they'll want to learn the ways of Christ. But he wanted so much more. He wanted to be in the presence of Christ. the Lord and he saved his soul. He gave him new life, abundant life in Jesus. And I am saying to you what Jesus did for this man. What he did in his heart caused him to want to be in the presence of the Savior. Dear child of God, is that your desire this morning? You want to be in the presence of Christ. That brings us to ask a question. Where will we find the Lord? He isn't here bodily today. He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven 40 days after his resurrection. And now he sits at the right hand of the Majesty on high, awaiting his return. So where will we find the Lord? For those who really desire him, where will we find him? I tell you, you'll find him in his word. Did Jesus not say in John 5 and 39, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me"? The Scriptures speak of Christ from beginning to end. The Old Testament speaks of Christ. The New Testament declares Christ. One man summed it up like this. He said, "The Old Testament is a book of unfulfilled prophecies. It is a book of unexplained ceremonies. It is a book of unsatisfied longings. But when you come to the New Testament, you discover that Christ fulfills the prophecies. Christ explains the ceremonies in his life and in his death. And Christ satisfies the longings." And if we get into the book, my friend, we'll find Christ. We'll be in his presence. I tell you, we'll find him in the place of prayer. Speaking of the subject of prayer, did Jesus not say in Matthew 18, verse 20, where the two or three are met together in my name, there am I in the midst of them? Child of God, you want to spend time with Christ. You'll find him in the closet. You'll find him in the public place of prayer. I tell you, you'll find him in the public worship. Remember Old Testament Israel. Remember Moses was commanded to build the tabernacle for public worship. Now when the tabernacle was concluded, the Shekinah glory, the cloud of the Lord's glory came down and it rested and it resided over the most holy place. And it was a token that God's visible presence was among his people. And it was there in the public place of worship. Christ in the public place of worship. That's why I want to be in the house of God twice on a Sunday. Because I believe there I meet with Christ. I tell you, we don't come so much to meet with the preacher. We shouldn't be coming so much to meet with our brethren and our sisters. We're coming to meet with Jesus. And we should find him in the house of God. Here was a man. And he was born again. He wanted to be in the presence of Christ. Can you say like the Shulamite this morning, "My desire is toward him"? It's your desire towards Christ. I want you to look back at our text, verse 38 and 39 of Luke chapter 8. You'll see something else about this man who's been converted. Not only was his desire to be in the presence of Christ, but you'll notice that it was his duty to obey Christ. Look at what it says. "Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him." So he wants to leave Gadara with the Lord. He wants to accompany him with the disciples. Go on his journey. But you'll notice the next we word, "but." But Jesus sent him away. There was something this man wanted to do. But Jesus wanted him to do something else. And I have to say, I can't question this man's motives. Here was a noble desire. Here was something that he was asking the Lord for. And on the surface, we couldn't criticize it. He wanted to be with Jesus. He wanted to accompany him. But the Lord had something else for him. Dear child of God, that reminds us that there are times when our ways are not God's ways. We may desire to do something, and outwardly, it may look good. It may be a thing that none else could criticize outwardly. I think of David. Remember, he came and he said to the prophet, God has put it in my heart to build a temple. I dwell in a palace, but the house of God remains as curtains. And I'm going to build a house, a magnificent house for him, a structure there in Jerusalem. And the prophet said, go, do all that is in thine heart. Outwardly it looked good. Who could criticize what David was saying? There needed to be a permanent place of worship in Jerusalem for the people of God. And it looked right. But in the night visions, the Lord revealed to his prophet, David shall not build the house. Solomon will build it. The one that will come after him. For David has been a man of blood. And the man who is a man of peace, Solomon, he'll build the house of the Lord. And of course, the foreshadowing in Solomon building the house of God. God is a picture of Christ. For Christ is the one that gives peace. And it's the man of peace that builds up the spiritual temple. Because Christ gives peace to his people. And I'm saying to you, there was David, and he had a desire to do something for the Lord. And who could criticize his motive or his desire? But it wasn't the path that God would have for him to go. And so he sent the prophet. And it was something similar with this man. The Lord had something else for him. And I don't know what path in life you have taken, dear child of God. Maybe there's an instance in your life at this moment in time. There's some way you feel you're being led, and yet maybe the Lord is saying, no, I have another path. I have to say to you, it is our duty to obey the Lord, even when his ways run contrary to what we think. God's ways are above our ways. And can I also point out that when we obey the Lord and when we follow the path of duty that he has laid out for us, his way will be the best way. Why did the Lord want this man to stay in Gadara, in the country of the Gadarenes? He was about to leave. He was about to depart. But he was going to leave a witness there in that place. For the Lord doesn't leave himself without a witness. This way, the Lord's way, it was better for the demonic or the ex-demonic. It was better for the people of Gadara. It was better for the Lord and for his cause to have someone there who would speak up for Christ. Way is the best way. And if we place our life in his hands and at his disposal, whatever path he leads us down, though it may seem a thorny way to us, it will always end in glory. It will always end in blessing. The Lord wants us to place our lives at his disposal, that he may bring his blessing and his best to our hearts. The story is told of a little girl who one day accompanied her mother on a shopping trip. And in one of the shops they were in, the little girl came to the counter with her mother. Her mother was buying some goods. And the little girl saw this little fake, cheap set of pearls. And she asked her mother, could she have them? Their mother at first said no, but she pleaded, Mommy, buy me the pearls. Please buy me those pearls. And of course, as mothers and fathers are, at times we're prone to give in. We see the little smiling faces or maybe a little tear in the eye and we give in. And so the mother bought the little girl, that little cheap, fake set of pearls. The little girl loved them. She never took them off. And after a number of months, her mother and father had witnessed how she loved this string of pearls. And one night, her father was putting her to bed. He said, "Do you love your daddy?" She said, "Yes, daddy, I love you." He said, "Give me those pearls." She said, "No." So the father left it. Next night he came in, he says, "Do you love your daddy?" "Yes, daddy, I love you. Give me your pearls." Again, the little girl, she wouldn't part with them. After a number of nights, the father kept asking, "Do you love your father? Give me those pearls." One night, with a tear in her eye, she took the pearls off. She put them into her daddy's hand. He put them into one pocket, and out of his another pocket, he took out a string of real pearls. He gave them to his little girl. Men and women, sometimes that's the way the Lord deals with us. There's little cheap trinkets in our lives that we count dear, and yet in the light of eternity, they mean so little. The Lord's saying, "Place them into my hands, and I give you real blessing. I give you the blessedness of the Lord." Well, today, dear friends, child of God, it is our duty to follow in the path of obedience. May we not be slack, but may we learn that when we resign from self-will, when we follow in His path, His way is the best way. The true Christian desired to be in the presence of Christ. The true Christian's duty is to obey Christ. Notice one other thought in closing this morning. The true Christian's delight and joy is to tell others of Christ. Jesus sent them away saying, "Return to thy house and show how great things God hath done unto thee." And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Here was a man with a story to tell. His Savior had done all things well. Oh, his life, we've already said, it was being destroyed by sin. Now he went home. What a joyful reunion. The son whose life had been destroyed by sin, he comes home to tell his family, "This is what Jesus has done for me." Began to go throughout the whole city. This man was famous, or should we say infamous. The whole community knew about him. And I've no doubt as he travelled throughout the city, he would have been stopped. "Tell me what made the difference." He told them about Christ. Didn't Peter exhort the people of God in 1 Peter 3 and 15? "Be ready always to give an answer to every man, the reason and the hope that lieth within you." Dear child of God, make it your chief joy. Make it your chief aim that when anyone should ask the difference in your life, the great change that has taken place, I tell you, you have a story to tell. If you've met the Lord, you may never have plumbed the depths of sin that this man went to. But if you've met the Lord and been born again of the Spirit of God, you have a story to tell. Jesus is your Savior. He's delivered you from sin. You're on the road to glory. You have the joy of the Lord in your heart. You need not the things of the world to satisfy you. Be ready to tell. As you live it out in your life, oh, they could see the difference. I wonder, does the world see the difference in us? As they viewed the difference in this man, he told them of Jesus. Make it your chief joy and delight to tell others of Christ. What he's done for you, he'll do for others. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he can do for you. And if you're not saved, if you're out of Christ, what the Lord done for this man, I tell you, he can do for you. He did it for this preacher. He'll do it for you. Now come this morning, receive him as your Lord and Master and your King. start the road for heaven. We're going to sing a hymn in closing.